Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for this version of Raising Your Spirits, Tony Ginnis.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition. We have a number of things that we want you to become aware of that I've just become aware of over the last few days as we're going into these new energies. And this is all coming in because we're all asking questions. In other words, when it comes to transformation, when it comes to making changes in your life, we are always asking questions, or we should be. Some people are content being where they are. And so it's not really a question. It's more of a statement like, I can never read that fast. I'm not that tall. I never have the money to start a new business. I mean, if that's a statement, then Spirit doesn't have a lot they can do, because a statement is a statement. It's not a question. It's when we start asking questions like, how do I do this? What do I do next? And we're constantly pushing. That's when answers start coming up. And that's what I've been really doing over the last week. What came up every single time was play more. Let's play. And as we were getting into it, we were looking at the various words that we have in our society. I mean, words are very important. We hear this all the time about how effective and how much of an emotional response we get from just words, the vibrations of our sound. And even if it comes out of another language, we feel the vibration from it. If somebody says something in Italian or Portuguese or in a language in Africa, whatever, we feel something. We don't know exactly what they've said, but we feel something about what they've said, okay? So let's get two examples. One example is, let's say we talk to 100 people and we just say one word, love. What does love mean to you? To some people, it would be, oh, I had an amazing mom, or I had an amazing grandmother. And they would talk about, they always celebrated me. Every time I'd come in, they would kiss both cheeks and they would pinch me, and I'd always get a hug, and I was always celebrated. For those people, the response would be a smile on their face when they hear that word. To other people that perhaps were abused as a child, they were never told they were anything. They were never hugged. They were never nurtured. They were always said that you're always in the way, get out of the way sort of thing. Throughout their whole life, adolescence, elementary school, right through high school, there was always fighting. There was always anger involved. Love to them would be anger. Or they'd be sadness. Oh yeah, right. Just a fantasy. Or they'd come up with something hurtful. Like, yes, I used to go out with this person that I thought I loved, and then they left. Just one word, talking to 100 people, you'd get a vast array of different emotions coming from that word because of the experience they've had from childhood. Another one would be freedom. Let's say a person that was working hard for a business, and then let's say they finally sold their business. And they went from one day where it had all these things to do, and then the transaction went through, and then the next day, it's like crickets. They don't have to do anything. You've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth in the bank with nothing to do, and you have no bills. It's like, oh, wow. So does this what freedom feels like? Without money or time as a factor, now I can make my decision based on my freedom, on what I want to do. Other people would look at freedom. Let's say they were going through high school all throughout their childhood and they were always controlled. And they went right from the home and they got married to another controlling person. They would never have that feeling of freedom. In fact, that they're always sort of suffocating or always sort of wanting to get away. And they could never really connect to themselves. So their response to freedom would be, it just happens for some people. It's a fantasy. In other words, they would be comparing what they have gone through and what that means to them in terms of that word, freedom. Now, there are two words in our society that does have a much closer connotation to it. And we hear this every day. Work and play. When you talk about play to some people, I'm just going to give you a few different examples of what play is all about. It's all about fun, joy, laughter, running, jumping, twirling. You see yourself as a child perhaps doing this, doing silly things. There's lots of shouting. When you're playing, usually it's not quiet, right? If you're in any kind of a birthday party and they're having fun and they're playing, it's usually loud. There's sometimes strategy involved. Like if you're playing chess or if you're playing golf, there's a strategy to it, okay? And it's fun. It comes to do with creativity, skill, and it would have some social stuff also in there. When you talk to play with many, many people, on the general scope, it would all be in that realm. We're pretty consistent that we have a good idea of what play is or what it should be, at least. Work is another word that everybody knows. It's all about competency, coming in on time, being reliable to work, got to get to work on time, right? Performance. You got to perform. When you go to work, you got to perform. You got to show that you are worth the investment that the company is paying you to be there. It's hard work, and it's serious. You got to be serious. Can't fool around when you're working. There's an expectation in doing whatever you need to do, and it serves someone else. So when we look at the different dynamics of what all that works, let's take it to a different place. Is like, how do we use these words in our everyday life? Okay, so I jotted down a few puns and different words of how we implement these words into our everyday life. Things like playing around. And that usually means experimentation. When you're playing around with your blocks, when you're playing around with things, you're trying to create something, and it's all about experimentation, trial and error. You're playing. Can Johnny come out to play? It's like the response is, yes, I would like to come out to play. Play ball, action. Meaning is that something needs to happen right now. Just play ball. Playing something down. In other words, if something is overextended somewhere, you got to try to play it down, making it so that you have to minimize it. Playing for time. Play for time. In other words, this is delaying. Using stalling tactics. Lawyers do this a lot when they're in the middle of cross-examining their witness and they say something and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've seen this note somewhere. I've got to play on time. I've got to stretch it. I've got to give myself and buy myself some time so I can find out where those notes are. Play on means continue. Let's get going. But if you're playing on something, It's about their weakness, you know, taking their strategy, taking advantage of something. Play on their weaknesses, they might say. Play a part in something. So play a part in a play or play a part in someone's business for a while. That means to contribute, to help them. You want to play a part in if somebody, let's say, gets sick, they can't run their business. Playing the fool. Talking to the master on that one. And it's all about acting as a clown. Play the game by the rules. In other words, if you're playing the game the way it should be, you got to play on the rules or conform to the rules. There's a way to play the game. Playing something up. In other words, if something has a very, very low key about something and it needs to be higher, it needs to have more of an issue. This is how we play. This is more of a dominance thing. This is how we play. And this is how they play that you have to follow the rules on. Playing on the words. Playing on the words also means that it has a double meaning, that the same thing that you say has two different meanings. I had an example here. Switch to Huggy diapers. It's time for a change. See, it has two different meanings in that. When you were playing on the words, there's that creativity that two things could collide together and they would both make sense. They would both sort of apply. So then Spirit wanted to say, what is it about work that we can have this kind of dynamic and different type of meanings? So when it comes to work, one is work on the project. It means exerting effort and to produce and accomplish something. Okay, that makes sense. I'm working on it. That's almost the same thing, doesn't it? Work up a schedule. You're still using effort there. That's how the world works. Have you ever heard that? You know, this isn't fair, but that's how the world works. In other words, it has an internal mechanics in the world that is very strict. That's how the world works. It's not fair. That's how the world works. It doesn't work. Something doesn't physically work. Is it fun to work for you? Sorry, things didn't work out the way you thought. So what would that mean? Something didn't work out. So you had an expectation that something was going to happen and it didn't fall through. It went sideways. Work in progress. That means that the same thing. You're still working on something and it's still continuing. Mother's work is never done. We hear that a lot. Again, it still goes by exertion and it still goes by accomplishment, a checklist, so on. Look at my work. That means that it suggests that the work is completed and you want someone to look at it. Do you see the difference between the two energies? Between play, which had almost an unlimited amount of different directions it could go, and work, which is very boxed in. I don't know if you've noticed that, okay? We've been programmed from cradle of how to incorporate work into our life. We were never meant to work. Our brain doesn't work on work. Let's use an example. My washing machine doesn't work, meaning that its job is to wash my clothes. My dryer doesn't work. My phone doesn't work. So, I mean, you could be playing on your phone and having enjoyment out of it, like if it's a video game or if it's a game or you're watching Instagram or you're watching videos and you're enjoying and you're playing. For you to play and enjoy, something has to work. So the phone becomes a tool that provides you with entertainment or the possibility of entertainment. If it doesn't work, it's not doing its job. So would it be safe to say that when we bring in the work connotation, it means anything is subservient to it? In other words, the phone is working for you. The phone has to work so you can enjoy your life. The car has to work so you could get to work and be happy. Things have to physically work. In other words, for you to be happy, you have to have something that comes back. When you look at the vocabulary of very rich people, they hardly ever use the word work, ever. Saw a interview a number of weeks ago on a billionaire, and he says, "How was your weekend?" This is what he said. "I was immersed in my business all week. I was engaged in my business, or I was engaged with my grandson." But they never use the word work. But the average person says, "Yeah, I worked all weekend. I love working." And people would say that, "I love working," and that could be true. But the way that it is shown, and we've shown the connotation of the word work, is very boxed in. So if we could substitute another word instead of using work, then we would already have a wealthy and upper energy platform in our heads that we are not actually working at something. Somebody once said that if you love what you do, you would never have to work for the rest of your life. And that's it. If you have that working mentality that the workers that are in a factory, they are working for the corporation, and the corporation then has the freedom to play. The corporation regards all their employees or all the people that work for them, either as workers or employees, even upper management. So even if you're a senior manager, you still have to perform. You still have to come on time. There's still all those things necessary for you to work. But if you own your own business, and here's where Spirit wanted to sort of highlight this. If you have your own business and you are the worker, but you're also the player, your business will always stay small. Now, they understand when you first start, you have to do everything. And that's respected. So there is sort of a learning curve that is forgiving. When you first start, you're going to be doing the mopping of the floors. You're going to be doing the marketing, the bookkeeping. You pretty much have to do everything. Now, once you get to a certain point, and we all get there at some point, it becomes overwhelming. If you're at a point where things are really overwhelming, it means that you're now a really heavy worker, but you're also getting to be that player that you want to play more. If you don't play and you're only working, there's a point there that if you don't let it go, you need to start playing, and you don't play, then the model doesn't work. Because in our society, we have a worker and a player. Now, let's go to the spirit side. I'm not trying to be religious here. I'm just more looking at it. Those of you that are religious, would you say to God or to Spirit that I work for you? It doesn't even sound right, does it? What do you do? What do people that are spiritual say? I worship Spirit. I engage Spirit. I'm blessed by Spirit. I'm a Spirit servant, which we are. We never use the word work because it isn't in that realm. Work only applies to this planet. And as soon as we see that and we start separating that, we can start saying, okay, so when I'm on this earth, this is what I am. But you have the choice to start moving into this play realm as well. Once your business or once you get to a certain point, start going. And what does God or what does Spirit think of you? Do they call you a worker? Or do they call you a servant? No. They call you his children. And what are children? Love. When you're in the spiritual realm, none of this model applies. This is why so many people are attracted to becoming more spiritual, because it's a completely different realm altogether. If you've always been controlled in that spiritual existence, you won't feel that. And then when you come back, very few people can control you because you don't think you're a worker. You are contributing. I'm a contributor. When you play, so many things are possible, because now you're not being bogged down by the worker mentality. Obedient workers. You have to be obedient. You have to be on time. You have to perform. And you're judged. And we're used to that because we get reviews every 6 months or every year. Well, that is our judgment. When they do a review, I mean, it's nice when it happens. Most times you get a raise, but it is a form of judgment. But that is a point where, as a worker, that's the life of a worker. But just because you're going through that, it is what's in your mind. What do you think you are? Do you think you're a worker? Or are you a contributor? If you're a contributor, then that's fine. Contributing is okay. Being involved is okay. Participating is okay. These are words you can use instead of the word work. And what will happen is that whole, I don't want to use the word brainwashing because it's not quite like that, but it is a form of reprogramming. Because have you ever tried to teach a child right from the very beginning to work? No more playing. We're going to do some work. And they have to work on their own. But to get people to work because they want to is impossible without the play. That's why in the very beginning part of the school, everybody plays. That's all they do is play. But in this meditation, what I want you to do is start looking at it and says, okay, if this is what has happened, how do I play more? How do I make it okay and be able to permit myself that I can play more? I have a couple of sentences that I just took off the internet just recently. I would like to play more. I live to play. I live to play golf. I live to play for water skiing. I live to play for volleyball. When somebody says that, there is that freedom that somebody is loving to play. And even if you go to sports, they don't call it work, but it is a job, isn't it? If you look at it, the people that are playing hockey, that are making the big dollars, or basketball, football, they are entertaining us. We are the receivers of that, right? And so they are technically workers. But it's interesting that we call them players. Because we don't want to introduce working when people are having that much fun. It's a great distraction that we're not actually looking at other things in our life, right? You'll never hear anyone say that they had to work because they want to make it like that. Even when some sound systems, remember the old tape recorders, there was a play button? All they had to do was say start, but it didn't want to do that. They wanted you to press a button that said play. Play this. And so that, again, when you are playing, other information will start to come in. Now, I read something very cool that I'll just touch on, and it's all about transformation and how we can use play to be able to help that. Because all of us want to be where we are today, to be in a better place or a higher, happier place tomorrow, right? We're all looking for that. We're all looking for some form of happiness, some form of ascension, some form of way we can get better tomorrow than we were today. So I was reading a couple of things about transformation. It was interesting. It said the willingness to think of something unfamiliar comes out in play. To see something new, you don't change by working on yourself. How many times have you heard that? I'm working on myself. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because to change means to come out of that sphere, comes out of that box, because you have to see things in a new way. You don't need strength, willpower, or effort in any of this, but you do need to see the change outside of your normal, whatever your normal is. And how do you get this new stuff coming in? By working on yourself, it actually makes you more stagnant. To play gives you the freedom to see and get out of your own persistent, perpetual recording of who you think you are. It is your ability to create a new you when you play outside of your normal that is essential for transformation. The word trans means to move, and formation means that an object or something already exists, matter already exists. So that's you. You already exist. For you to transform and for you to move, it's play. Play with your kids. Play with your grandkids. Talk about your business in a playful way. How was your weekend? Oh, I was immersed in my business all weekend. By starting to take out that word, the work word, you are no longer in that employee mentality. Now, of course, if you are an employee and you're happy and you're perfectly okay doing the 9-to-5, that's fine. This has nothing to do with where you are. If you're happy to be an employee, then all the best to you. Spirit does not want to interfere in that. However, if you're an employee and you're frustrated and you're not moving anywhere and there are just things that are happening, I should get into my own business or I should be doing something, and there's always a hiccup, there's always a hesitation, then perhaps you're not playing. That's all Spirit is saying. If you're happy where you are, don't change your life. Trust me. You don't want to start changing something that's already, if I can use the word, working. If something's already working for you, don't change it. Okay? It's just that if it's not agreeing with you for some reason and you want something more, you feel you can do more, you are more, then this will apply by playing more. Some of the greatest things over the years, I recall in our area, there was a construction company, just out of respect, I won't mention the company's name. It was one of the big companies, and they do roads and they do all kinds of large multi-million dollar structures and so on. And at one point, an investor wanted to buy this company. And he approached this company and he said, I want to buy your company and I'm willing to give you over $100 million. And his answer was, but then I would have nothing to play with. At the time, I just thought that was a nothing. But after researching the stuff for today and after looking at and connecting to spirit in this way, that's huge. He didn't look at it as work. It's play. He's playing with his trucks. He's playing. Why would somebody end their play? And by the way, this person was over 86 years old. And he's still playing. That is a successful mentality because you're not tied in to this worker mentality. It's not work. If it's work for you, you have to relook at that. So it is this playing. And this is where you got to start doing things that are really wild. A couple of things that I've also seen over the years is that when Apple first came out, they were one of the lowest ones at the time when Microsoft was pretty much the dominant field in all the computer industry, the software and so on. And these guys were still in a garage. They were still trying to launch their computers pretty much from their home, from their basement in the garage. They just got together and they say, okay, we need to come up with an idea and we want to make it outrageous. So they said, we just got to have fun. So they started playing. They started coming up with all these crazy ideas and it could be, and they wanted crazy. And then somebody once said, we should develop our own computer. Oh, but that's nuts. Wait a second. Wait a second. Well, but that's just stupid. Wait a second. Hang on. See, well, sometimes what happens is when somebody suggests something that is absolutely insane, really out there, stupid, that's a springboard or what I call a stepping stone to something else. Wait a second. We might not be able to do it right now, but I see that maybe we could do this, that, and then eventually come to that. Oh, wow, that would never happen. Well, within 2 years after that, they did come up with their own computer. And it was so good, actually, the programming is Microsoft copied it. They copied their whole system. And a year later, it came out the way that it did. But that's another story. But in other words, when you have an idea, when you're trying to come up with some solutions and you just can't find it, what Spirit is saying, if you still stay in your own worker mentality, it's just like trying to wash your floor with dirty water. You know, yes, you're passing through it and, you know, the movement is there, but there's no advancement. There's nothing's changing because you're using the same water or the same energy of where you are to change where you are. Well, that's impossible. You can't change who you are from who you are. It's got to come from outside. And this is where play will really come into play. We come to play. So your playing is really the key to all this. And we're going to prove it to you. In this meditation, if there's something that you're going through right now and you don't have an answer, you're toying with the idea, let's say you have a business and you want to go into another branch of your business and you're not sure if you should, okay? It's been in your mind, but you're not sure if you should actually do it. You don't have an answer. Or let's say you're not sure whether you should move, or you're not sure whether you should call up that person that you had a date the other day and maybe ask for a second date. So whatever it is that you don't have an answer for, we're going to give you a technique, another technique, of how to find another answer in another way. In this meditation, I want you to put yourself in as a child and pretend that you're 8 or 5 or whatever age that you feel you were when you were bold and you were able to do whatever you could do. You were invincible. We all have that. All of us. It was only maybe after that that we were tamed or we were, you know, changed in some way. But there is a time where you could probably remember where you were this incredible, outspoken person. Just before we start, just a quick story. A mother and a child is at a bank, and the mother gives the teller the transaction that she wants, and then it comes back, and she notices that there's a $20 charge on her account. And the mother says, "What is this?" The child is sitting on one of the top podiums there, the table, and listening in. He says, "What is this $20? And she says, "Well, that's a service charge that we have. Everybody pays it, and that's just what our charge is." And she said, "Oh, I don't know if I do that." Anyway, it's going back and forth with the confusion. And finally, the little girl pipes up. She says, "Mommy, what's wrong?" I says, "Oh, it's okay, honey. Just this lady just wants to charge Mommy for something." And then the girl goes, "No! No!" And then all of a sudden, the teller pipes up and then tries to explain this to a five-year-old what the charge is. And each time it was, nope. And didn't care. And it was so comical, the lady took the charge off. So in other words, be like this kid. So daring, so brave. You don't have, it's just not right. No! If you can feel that play, and if you can maybe see yourself on a playground, you're swinging on that monkey bars, and you're thinking of this particular issue that you can't do. Now, here's the danger. In a meditation, you're still going to be in conscious form. I mean, you're not going to pass out. You're not going to go into an altered state so much that you won't remember everything, because your mind is still sort of semi-involved. When you ask yourself a question like this, and your mind has been trying to give you an answer, and it really sort of, it doesn't feel right, your mind will want to pipe in and try to figure it out. No, we don't. Your mind has had all the opportunity to figure this particular thing out. So now we go to something else. So it's no. Okay? So when you ask the question, ask it to your spirit. Ask it to this child. Those of you that are Reiki masters, bring in Archangel Michael. Bring in your grandmother, your grandfather, whoever you trust, and talk to them and then get the feedback. What do I need to do here, Grandpa? And then from that child setting, you'll get an answer. What else? What else can you tell me? What else? Tell me more. Okay? Take a deep breath. Breathe in the color orange. Orange is a beautiful kid color. I love orange. It's a playful, cheerful, and it has no boundaries. You could do anything, you know. The sky could be orange. It doesn't matter. The creativity is endless. Just breathe in the color orange. As soon as the music starts, I want you to do that, and we'll see you in about 20 minutes or so.
want you to slowly come out of the state that you're in. I want you to keep your eyes closed. And just before we disconnect from your child, I want you to thank it. Say thank you for making me strong. All those decisions you made when you were in elementary school, all the problems that came up, I'm here to show you and tell you that they all made me stronger. As hard as it was, I lived through it because of you. You never gave up. Yes, there were some things that we could have enhanced your life. But you found a way to go through it. And for that, I want to thank you. I am strong today because of you. Give this little child a hug. Connect to it. Know that this is inside of you all the time, and it needs your attention. For some of us, it might only be the only person that cared. The big thing about this is it's the only person you need. Tell this child you'll be back to revisit, to continue this relationship at a different level. This picture that you have was a vibration. And having you go back from the future to connect this child is a gift. Before you go, ask this child if it has a last message before you go, while you hug it. I'm going to give you a few seconds for that. You'll get a message. When you're ready, say your goodbyes and come back to the state, into the room that you're in. Another 4 or 5 nice breaths just to ease off everything. And Spirit wants to remind me that the openings that you've created at the top of your head, at the tips of your fingers, at the soles of your feet, to close them up, please. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes.
Thank you for listening, and hope to see you again tomorrow for another meditation to keep your energy and your vibration high. So until next time, namaste. Hey there. If you like this show, I want you to text someone right now that you think needs to hear this episode. If they are going through a tough time and they need some inspiration, let them know by sending them a link to this podcast. Let me know how it goes to see if it helped them. All the best.